I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Yeah, I wanted to get something from the very beginning, you know, where God talks about giving us dominion. And then I wanted to get something, not at the end, but at the end of Jesus' life, where Jesus now gives final instructions. This point of reference, if you went, you know, the most important things that a person says are usually the first things and the last things. They're probably very important. So if someone, you know, like is like on their deathbed or whatever, and they give those final, that's important. You listen to that, right? But then also, when you meet somebody for the first time and, you know, they make that first impression, you only get one time to make a first impression, right? It usually, like, the first thing that they say is significant, right? You ever had situations where you're meeting somebody for the first time and you didn't know what to say to them? You know, it's like you're getting all awkward. Well, that's very important. So when God created Adam and Eve and God created man, God gave them dominion. Dominion means to have control and to take responsibility. He said to Adam and Eve, I want you now to take responsibility for all these things. Take responsibility. Dominion is, it means it's a realm, it's authority or control over a specific location, dominion. See, Jesus Christ, let me take it this way. Heaven is God's domain. The power of God rests in his rule and his authority in heaven. And what God does, God wants to bring heaven here on earth. But God has to have agents on the earth through which he can rule and reign and have dominion. So the way that God does it is he said, let us make man, and I'm going to put him on the earth, and I'm going to make him like me. He's going to be like me. He'll represent me. He'll, in his likeness and in his image, he will be me on the earth. Now, don't get it twisted now. The authority and the dominion still remains with him. You can't raise a tick. You can't heal a fly. You can't do anything unless God do it through you. It's amazing. You ever heard of these faith healers? People, I got the power of healing. Look at my hand. I got the power. Look at that hand. That's the power of God in that hand right there. No, it's not. Your hand is shaking, and if God chooses to heal that individual, God will use you. But we got to be careful not to get the big head and say, well, look at me. God is using me. God is doing all these things through me. We were talking the other day in staff, and I was just kind of excited about the message. And I said, you know, people with all these gifts of healings and everything, they should live in the hospital. They should just give me a room in the hospital. And guess what? Everybody that's coming through that's sick, hey, go down to room, you know, 4B. They'll pray for you, and then you'll be admitted or released from the hospital. So there is this dominion that God gave Adam and Eve, and he gave it, and he said, listen, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply, and I want you to have, you know, subdue the earth. I want you to rule over it. And then when Jesus has been, he's already, you know, about to go to heaven, and he tells the disciples, all authority has been given to me. Now I want you to do something. I want you to do something. And he's telling them what he wants them to do. And he says, I want you to go teach all nations. Right? That's one of the things he asked us to do. And he says, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right? So we got to teach all nations, and then we got to baptize. And then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Right? So how do we know what Jesus commanded? You know it by the word of God. So everything that Jesus commanded, he said to his disciples, I've got the authority. Now I'm telling you to go and do all these things. And then he says, I love it at the end, he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This reminds me of a story. These kindergartners were all in the classroom, and it was like that little recess time right before they started the next lesson. They'd come in from playing, and the teacher was just kind of having a little fun with the kids and said, "Hey, what do y'all want to be when you grow up?" Sally raised her hand. She said, "I want to be an actress." Everybody said, "Wow, that's cool." And they said, "Billy, what do you want to be?" Billy said, "I want to be an athlete. I want to be a professional football player." It's like, cool. They asked Mark, "What do you want to be?" Mark said, "I want to be a policeman. I want to be a policeman." And there was a little boy in the back. Joshua was in the back, and Joshua was quiet, didn't say anything. And he finally raised his hand. He said, "Joshua, what do you want to be when you grow up?" He said, "Joshua, I want to be low." And they said, "What? I want to be low." Everybody's like, "Why do you want to be low?" He said, "Because the Bible says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the earth." So if you're going to be anything, you want to be low. You want to be low. So this authority, what is authority? Before we can understand authority, we have to understand sovereignty. Sovereignty. Now, God is sovereign. And what it means by God being sovereign is that the ultimate source of all power and authority and everything that exists, it's all in Him. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Basically, God sovereign means you can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, how you want to do it. Darrell Coley said, because He's sovereign. So, sovereign, only God is sovereign. God can do anything, anywhere, at any time. God's sovereignty consists of His power and His authority. Only a sovereign can give authority to do something. In God's case, only God has ultimate supreme sovereignty. Man does not, although we act like we do. So, let's look at Revelation. Well, you don't have to flip here. I'm just going to kind of read to you some things about God and about His sovereignty. Revelations 21:6 said, God is above all things and before all things. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is immortal and He is present everywhere so that everyone can know Him. That's what we find in Revelations 21:6. God created all things and holds all things together, both in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible. That's found in Colossians 1:16. God knows all things, past, present, and future. And there is no limit to His knowledge, for God knows everything completely before it happens. That's in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. I'm going to park here for a second. We were talking the other day about, y'all ever heard that scripture, you know, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, be loosed in heaven. We have to understand, I think that's Matthew 18, let me flip over there. We have to understand the order of it. And if we don't understand the order of it, we'll think that we're the ones that are causing things to happen. And I'm telling you, God is the one who starts and stops and does everything. We don't do it. We're simply a part of God's plan. We're a part of God's plan. So this authority of the believer, don't go out there and talk about, "I got all this authority." You only have it because all authority starts and ends with God, and His authority is a part of His sovereignty. So here we have we've heard this before. In Matthew 18, it says, I'm starting at verse number 18. It says, "I assure you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." You've heard that, right? So we thought that the binding happened here, and then it kind of went up to heaven. But in actuality, the binding already started in heaven. It was already settled in heaven. And whatever we bind on earth, the real, and I like this version, it says, and this kind of makes it sense. It says, whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, If two of you agree on anything, any matter, and you pray, then it will be done for you, my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. Now, this reads totally different than what you've heard, but he said basically this whole context is about restoring a brother who has fallen, right? It's the context is very important. And a lot of times people will quote scripture all out of context and then trying to make it apply for everything, and it doesn't. God's word knows what God's word means. We don't. And so we try to like to fit this round peg into a square hole, you know, like I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All right, you try to fly. You try to jump off a building and go in there and see how long you last in the air. You cannot do it. There's a context to everything. And there's the context here is if a brother has sinned and you want to restore him, then what he's saying is that there's a way, like this person comes and they don't submit to the authority, then you take somebody else and then they still don't agree, and then you take him before the church, right? And then the church casts sentence or makes its declaration on a brother who is not repentant or a sister who is not repentant. And so whatever that church decides, God is saying, whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. So he's talking about the authority that he's given the local body to call things out. See, we don't like that nowadays. I mean, if we really lived out the Bible, half the folks wouldn't come to church. You're not the boss of me. See, America's rugged individualism will be the death of America. Right? I ain't getting no amens on that. It's our inability to submit to any authority because simply, I'm an American. I can do whatever I want. And so we got to be careful. That's why I'm going to give you three things that we can do to kind of walk in this authority, because this authority came from God here. So he says in this text here, he said, if he pays no attention to them, tell the church. But if he doesn't pay attention even to the church, let him be like an unbeliever and a tax collector to you. And then he says, I assure whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. So basically what he's saying is if the church has a situation where an unrepentant brother or sister won't listen, then the church has the authority to now either kick that person out, to put sanctions on that individual. And God's saying, I'm going to back up what the church has said. Not because the church is full of people who show favoritism or who are part of cliques. No, it's because God has given authority to the church. He's delegated some of his authority to the church. Right? So there's that order there. And this only, it's only happens because God has already settled it in heaven. So you cannot sort of willy-nilly start walking in authority unless you know the word of God. The only place that believers get authority is from God's word or from God. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't get authority because you've been in the church forever. Don't you know I'm an elder? Do you know how much I prayed? Or do you know how much money I gave to this church? I surely have some authority in here. No, you don't. The only way we get really biblical authority, it might be earthly authority, it can work, you know, whatever. But in the context of kingdom authority and spiritual authority, you only get that by the word of God. And you know what that does? That levels the playing field for everybody. Because all of us have access to the Word of God. All of us can read the Word of God. We can submit to the Word of God. We can walk in the authority that the Word of God gives us. All of us. So there's no difference when it comes to the Word of God. And so authority comes from the Word of God. And that authority, it gives you authority, but it also shows you the limitations of what you and I can do. The Word has limits into it. Right? Just because you feel a certain kind of way, let's say you feel like, oh, I don't feel like being married to this one again. I'm going to go marry somebody else. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Well, you know, the Bible don't understand everything. Okay, well, it understands that. It speaks to that. Or, I don't like this. I don't want to submit to this person. Why I got to submit? I'm going to do my own thing. Well, what does the Bible say about submission? You can only operate within the bounds of what the Bible says. And even sometimes, you may feel something so heavy on your heart, or so you feel impressed. I've had this. Barbara, I like talking to you because you're right here in the front. I was talking to you last time. Saints, we got to be careful, because sometimes our emotions can well up and we can feel so strongly about something or about something that we want to do. And we almost say, well, God is calling me to do this. But unless it lines up with Scripture, your feelings have to submit to the Word of God. I'm telling you, if you look and you see what's going on today, everybody feels this. I feel called to this. I feel called to that. Some people, they're walking right outside of the authority of God and they're just doing their own thing. And woe to those who have let their feelings determine or dictate what they can and can't do for God. And I'm not going to mention. I'm not going to mention asking angels from another country. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to go there. All right, so God is in control of all things. He rules over all things. He has power and authority over nature, earthly kings, history, angels and demons. Even Satan himself has to ask God's permission before he can act. That's in Psalm 103:19. You know, when in the book of Job it said that all the hosts went out, and then Satan comes back, and God said, "Where you been, Satan?" "Oh, I've been out to and fro trying to find somebody I can kind of harass." And Satan had to ask God's permission before he could attack somebody. Please get out of your mind that Satan is equal to God. He's not. Satan is created. God is eternal. Created things can't overturn immortal. Like, God has no beginning. God don't have a birthday. He don't have a birthday. He don't celebrate his birthday. You and I do, but God doesn't. Because God has no beginning. God has no end. God is before all things. When it's all said and done, he's going to be here. When everything is over, God is sovereign. God doesn't need us. He's everywhere all the time, doing all these things, making these things happen. And God, in his graciousness, allows us to come into his presence, to be able to call on his name. That's something right there. God can do all things. Jeremiah 32:17, it says, God can do all things. Now, he can accomplish all things. Nothing is too difficult for him. He orchestrates and determines everything that is going to happen in your life, in my life, in America, and throughout the world. Whatever he wants to do in the universe, he does, for nothing is impossible for him. Now, this does not mean that you and I don't participate in local, you know, activities, right? Like, we operate, we go to work, you know, you vote. You know, you take your children to school, or, you know, you do things. You have to be involved. You don't just sit back and kick it in overdrive and say, "All right, God, since you're going to handle everything, I'm just going to sit here and eat popcorn and watch The Price is Right." No, it doesn't work that way. You have to be actively involved. And now there are times where I think Abraham, who was pleading for God not to destroy the city. And he said, okay, God's like, "I can't even find 50 righteous." He said, okay, I think Abraham said, "Well, if I can find 50, will you not destroy it?" He said, okay. And then he went and couldn't find 50. He said, well, if you got 40, Would that be cool? Will you not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? It's in, can't find 40. How about 30? Okay, I won't do it if you find 30. Well, he couldn't find 30. He said, well, Lord, how about 20? He couldn't find 20 righteous people. He said, well, how about 10? And that showed, like, okay, well, you know, here, Abraham was bargaining with God. I think God ultimately didn't want to destroy. God has given all of us a chance. To me, that showed the compassion of God. God is compassionate toward us, toward his creation. And the sad thing about it is, you know, yes, God judges sin, but it's not like God wants us to sin. Judgment, God judges sin. He wouldn't be righteous if he didn't judge sin. He doesn't want us to sin. When we sin, we bring God's wrath upon us. We bring it upon us. So somebody would say, well, is God a loving God? Like when, you know, when the Twin Towers, the planes, you know, flew into the towers and all those innocent people died. And is God a loving God? Yes, God is a loving God. God is a compassionate God. God doesn't want any one of us to perish. But you know what? It's because of our sinful actions. And the sinful actions of those players and the people that hijacked the plane, because of their sinful act, it affected 5,000 people. So don't think that your actions are just hurting you. Your actions have implications to hurt many. So are we clear on sovereignty? Like, God is sovereign, right? We are not. But God, what he does do, God gives us authority. And authority is the freedom to decide or a right to act. So we've actually been given the ability to decide. You can decide to follow the Lord or you can decide not to. God's not going to twist your arm and say, okay, you better follow my son. No, he doesn't do that. You have the ability to decide, right? And so there's a difference, too. Now, when I read the Matthew account, does some of your Bibles have all authority have it? Some of y'all have authority in there, like all authority is given to me, and some had all power. Just flip back over to Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, or probably it's going to be around 18. What does it say? It says all authority or all power? Okay, who says, anybody in the Bible says all power? Some say all power? Okay, so most of them say all authority, right? So authority is that freedom to decide or a right to act. So Jesus says all authority has been given to me, and now I'm telling you what to do. So what we do is we operate in delegated authority. We operate in delegated authority. So now we represent God. And how do we represent God? By his word. That's it. By his word. This word can stop the devil in his tracks. This word can bring about peace in my life. This word can bring restoration in my family. This word, the word has all of that authority in it. I don't. Outside of God's word, I don't. It would be just like me stepping on Lenola Road and a big 18-wheeler coming down Lenola Road, and I stand out there in my little get-up, and I'm like, right in the middle of the road, and I'm like, stop! That trucker's going to look at me like, who is this lunatic? And if I don't give them enough time, enough notice, guess what? They're going to run right over me. But I tell you what, if I had on a black uniform and I rode around in a black and white SUV that had Morristown Police Department on it, and I had a badge, and I had a gun, or I had my radio or my camera, and I had my lights flashing, and I walked out in the middle of the road in my uniform, and I said to that 18-wheeler, stop, guess what that dude would do? Whoever drove it, they would lock them wheels up, and they would stop. Why? Because I represent an authority. The power is not in my hand. Power is not in that policeman's hand. The power is in who that individual represents. So your and my power, our authority comes in the one that we represent. If you can walk in that authority, see, that's your kingdom authority. It's not in you. Oh, you know, you're good, you're cute, but you ain't God. Excuse my English. So, I love this. Dr. Tony Evans says this. He said, one of the reasons we often don't live in light of this truth is because we confuse the terms power and authority. Satan still has power. Now, let me define power. Power means that you have the physical ability to do something. Like, I got the power to pick up this stand here. I got the power, I got the ability. And that power comes from experience and knowledge. It comes from just, you know, just being around. Like I could pick up, well, the youngest one now, I used to pick up all my kids. I can't pick them all up now. They're a little too heavy. But I can pick up Joel. I got the power to do that, right? And I probably have the authority to do that. Now, if you go pick up my son, you're going to have a little issue. Because I may not have authorized you to go pick him up, right? So power is the ability, authority is the right, right? Power is that ability. Now, I can say to Tony, I can, Tony, go pick up Joel, right? Let's say he's at the store and I want Tony to go pick him up. Tony, can you go pick up my son and drop him off at the house? And you're like, sure. You and your wife were out. Y'all were riding around, and you went by where he was, and you picked up Joel, brought him back home, right? Anything wrong with that? No. I talked to you. I gave you the authority to go and pick him up. So when Joel is at the house or wherever he's at, and he says, who are you, and why are you here? And he'll say, well, Jonathan sent me. Jonathan sent me to pick you up. That's authority. Now, the fact that he had the power to do it, that was on him. But I had to give him the authority. That makes sense? So as believers, right, we have power, but in God's word, we now have the authority. But I'm going to tell you where you get your spiritual power. Now, there's natural power, then there's a spiritual power. Turn with me to Ephesians. Let me see. Do I want to get there yet? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get there. Actually, you know what? I'm going to save that. Don't go there yet. So, let me finish here. It says, Satan still has power. He still dominates the world in which we live and influences people's lives in countless ways. His tactics are both real and destructive. But what Satan doesn't have is final authority. Jesus has the authority. Jesus is exalted. Ephesians 1:21 says, he is exalted far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. So here we have Jesus now having all authority, but Satan still has some power in this earth. He still is whatever, I mean, people do this. You give yourself over to Satan's got control of you. He'll tell you to do this, do that, and you just feel like, well, I'm powerless. I got no control. But I'm going to tell you, there is a way that you can have control over the effects of or the influence of Satan. Right? You can have, because Satan is real. Some of y'all be like, well, no, I don't believe he's real. Okay, I'll tell you what. You keep thinking that Satan isn't real. And then what you're gonna see is people now being given over to Satan, being seduced by these satanic practices, and that's kind of what we are seeing in the earth. So what we got to do is we got to realize, okay, Satan does have power, but he doesn't have ultimate authority. Only God has it. So I'm gonna tell you three ways that we can now walk in this authority, and we can trust God, and we don't have to fear or be fearful of what the enemy does, but we can now sort of do what God told us to do in Genesis 1, 26 and Matthew 28, to go and have dominion and also teach and to baptize. So three things that we can do, three things. And these are, and you have to do these in this order or they won't work. You can probably do them out of order, but they probably will have better, results. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. And the first one is, write this down if you're taking notes. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I guess if the first thing is, and I'm talking to believers here, if you're not a believer, the first thing is you got to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Like, you got to accept him. You can't be playing around. You've got to make a decision that, God, I'm going to follow you with everything. Once you make that decision, right, and here's the thing, God's already the one that does it anyway. You just finally yield to God. But when we yield to God, God now brings us salvation because salvation is his. But for those who are believers, here's how you walk in your authority. Be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21 says, so don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Wow. You got to be filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you cannot do effectively the next thing. Speak the word of God. We've got to speak the word of God. We got to start speaking the word of God over our situations. Speak the word of God over our families. Speak the word of God over our bodies. Speak the word of God over our life. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4, he was in the wilderness. The Bible said he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. And while he was there, he was tempted of Satan for 40 days. And each temptation, Jesus came back, not with, well, Satan, why are you always picking on me? I'm just trying to do God's will. The Lord led me into the wilderness, and I just want to serve him. He didn't do that. He said, the word of God, every single time. He said, I'm not going to worship you. I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to live by and understand and operate in the word of God. Listen, our words don't really matter, but God's words have weight. You and I have to speak the word of God. If you need to take note cards, like I do sometimes, write the word of God down on note cards. Put them in your pocket when you're at a doctor's office, when you're waiting for an appointment, whatever. Just start this. What does the word of God say? What does the word of God say? Like, get the word in you. When you get the word in you, when you get the word in you so full, your words will be out of you. When you get the word in you, your worries will be out of you. When you get the word in you, those things that you're thinking, see, the word of God can help you think straight. The word of God can help you get your character right. The word of God can help you get your mind right. You and I need the word of God. So be filled with the Spirit. Speak the word of God. And when you do that, then you can resist the devil. God ain't called none of y'all to fight the devil. Been fighting the devil all night. Why are you fighting the devil? Resist him. You got to do the devil like a crying baby who wants attention. Talk to the hand. You got to do that. When you're tempted to curse your neighbor out because they raked them leaves in your yard and you told them not to, instead of you giving a piece of your mind, you got to say, okay, get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to worry about this today. When you and your wife are having an argument and she finally, she can't see that you're right and she's wrong. Don't engage in the fight. Just say, yes, Lord. Just move it. Just keep going. I'm telling you. When those kids don't clean up their room and you walk into it like it was a war zone, you got to say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to not open my eyes. I'm not going to smell anything. I'm just going to walk through wake up my child and get out. You got to do that. When you go into that job where your neighbor, where your coworker, you just can't stand them. You just wish that they would get transferred or relocated. What you got to do, instead of you wanting to curse them out, you just got to say, you know what? I think I'm working from home today. You just I'm telling you, you got to resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. Amen. Join me standing. Hallelujah. Remember, be filled with the Spirit. Speak the word of God. And then resist the devil. When you do that, that's you walking in the authority God gave you. Amen. How many of you are saying, I need to be filled with the Spirit? I need to be filled with the Spirit. I see those hands. Just lift them up. And we're gonna pray. You know, the Bible says that, look, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you simply just invite him in. Just invite him in. He wants to reign and rule in you. He's the one that knows everything anyway. He is the person of Jesus, or he is the representative of heaven on the earth right now, the Holy Spirit. He's here. He always is and always is around, and he wants to be in us. Just lift those hands. Father, I thank you for these are your people. God, I pray that you fill them with your Spirit. Fill them to the overflow so that they'll walk out and do the things that you've called them to do. God, fill us. Fill me afresh. We need you like never before. Lord, the days in which we live, help us, God, to be filled with the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just take a few moments. Lord, fill me. Just tell him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fill us, oh God. Oh God, fill us so we get more of you and less of us. God, fill us to the brim, oh God. Fill us to overflowing, oh God. Lord, fill us to the point, God, that it's no more us, but it's you living in us and leading us and guiding us and directing us. And we're walking in our authority as believers because you are sovereign and that you've called us to do things here and you've empowered us, you've equipped us by the Holy Spirit to accomplish your will on the earth. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for filling us. God's going to give us a new song. God's going to give you a new song. He's going to sing over you, and you will now begin to sing out what he's singing over you. Lord, fill us. Make us a church that's led by the Spirit. Make us a church that's led by you, not by our emotions, not by our desires, not by our preferences, but let us be led by you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Come on, give God some praise for doing what he does. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, and may the Lord give you peace. God bless you. Walk in your authority in Jesus' name. Amen.